There were over 10,000 fans in the building tonight. Raw was in Sacramento. Hey, 10,000's a pretty good crowd. You know what they had in that building back in April? Over 14,000. In case you were wondering, have we fallen off the peak? The answer is yes, we have fallen off the peak. Still doing very well, but they have fallen off the peak. But tonight was all about the World Heavyweight Championship. We all saw what happened on the show last week. A major show closing angle, Seth Rollins excommunicated from the Vision. Braun Breaker attacking. Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed standing united with Paul Heyman. What would be the update on Seth Rollins? Is he hurt? How badly is he hurt? Are they going to strip him of the World Heavyweight Championship? The only thing we knew coming into this show is that Adam Pearce would be making an announcement as it relates to the title. And he did. And that announcement was that Seth Rollins is hereby stripped of the World Heavyweight Championship. And tonight, there would be a battle royal. Because CM Punk was already crowned number one contender last week. You can't screw him out of the shot that he earned, so he needs an opponent. How do you decide on an opponent? They decided that we're going to have a battle royal. And the winner of that battle royal would go on to wrestle Punk for the title in Salt Lake City, November 1st, on Saturday night's main event. And so we had this battle royal here on this show. Two men who were not in the battle royal, even though they were supposed to be. Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed. They were in the graphic. When they put the initial graphic up for the battle royal earlier in the show, they were part of it, and then they weren't. Because Adam Pearce made an executive decision midway through the show, and he let Paul Heyman know that his two men would not be in this battle royal. And I must say, even though I am a big proponent for strapping the rocket to Braun Breaker and using this as an opportunity to just launch him into that top spot, if it were me, I would put the championship on him. But as somebody who oftentimes will talk about, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense, right? And I try as hard as I can, to my own detriment a lot of the time, to apply logic in an illogical world. I can appreciate the fact that they had Adam Pearce say, look, these men are responsible for my world champion being on the shelf for the next several months. These men are responsible for the fact that we no longer have a world heavyweight champion. We had to vacate the championship because of these two men. And so instead of rewarding them, what did he do? He bounced them out of the battle royal. That makes sense. It's a sensible decision that he made. I can't be mad at that. You can't reward bad behavior. All that being said, they went with the most boring choice to win the battle royal. Jey Uso is going to Saturday night's main event to wrestle CM Punk, which means CM Punk or Jey Uso is going to leave Salt Lake City, maybe, as the next World Heavyweight Champion. They went with Jey Uso. And the battle royal, by the way, I actually enjoyed. As battle royals go, I enjoyed it until we got to that finish. Now, I will say the storytelling was good. They've been telling this story now for weeks. Jimmy and Jey not quite on the same page. Jimmy being very upset with the way that Jey has been behaving. He is, you know, really looking towards Roman Reigns a little too much in his view and trying to emulate him a little too much. Jimmy doesn't like that very much. And so as they play this story out, what they did tonight was logical. You know, and they set things up throughout the show. We had a backstage segment at one point with the two of them, and Jimmy said, look, I'm going to be in the battle royal. You're going to be in the battle royal. You know, I'm going after everybody, he said. He kind of put the nail in his own coffin when he made that comment. Because in the end, it was Jey Uso, despite the fact that his brother saved him multiple times in this battle royal, who helped eliminate his brother and showed absolutely no regret for what he did. Right? And Jimmy was very upset about this when the match was over, even though it's every man for himself. And it was Jimmy Uso himself earlier in the show who told his brother, I'm coming after everybody, including you. So you know what, Big Jim? Too bad. He's got nothing to complain about here. But he was being a sourpuss at the end of the show, and he wasn't very happy that his brother, you know, did what he did. So the storytelling is on point. I don't have an issue with that, but man, I mean, all the options they could have gone with, to me, they went with the least exciting and least interesting of them all. I don't really have any interest in seeing CM Punk against Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship, or not, or in a, just a straight up singles match, not for any championship at all. Because of all the choices they had, to go with the Usos is just very deflating. And the thing that I look at when I see who was in this battle royal, the name that stands out to me, I'm not even going to say LA Knight. There are a lot of LA Knight fans who are going to be very upset. Oh, LA Knight jobbed out again. I don't know why you torture yourselves so much. He ain't going to be the guy. They just don't see him that way. So this is going to continue to happen. I wasn't surprised that he wasn't in there at the end. But I saw that AJ Styles was in that battle royal. And I didn't realistically think it was going to be AJ because he just won the tag team titles tonight. And so is he really going to win the battle royal as well? Probably not. But you had AJ Styles in there. And it's been an AJ Styles love fest for the last few weeks. Coming out of that match at Crown Jewel with John Cena, that great fucking match the two of them had. And AJ making it very clear that his career will also come to an end very soon in 2026. He may not even last the full year. We don't know when he's done next year. His contract may be done in February, although I'm sure he will not be done in February. He may be done at WrestleMania. We don't know. But he was just in Japan, his last Japanese tour. They had AJ Styles, the roster did, on their shoulders, parading him around. And it was, you know, it was great to see them pay that level of respect to him, especially given the success that he had in Japan. But you're going to see more of this as the months go on. And one of the matches that I know a lot of people, because people have asked me about it in like the mailbag and tweets, I hear about, wow, they're ever going to do CM Punk against AJ Styles one-on-one. Are we ever going to get it? And it kind of feels like it's now or never, because I don't know if that's in the cards for next year. You would think at some point next year, if at least they would do the match. It doesn't look like they're going to have too many more opportunities to get it done if they're going to do it. And you had an opportunity here to put together not just a match for the World Heavyweight Championship in 2 weeks, but a match that a lot of people would look at as a dream match. I hate even throwing that word around, but that's how some people would describe it, right? It's a match that they really want to see, and maybe they thought at one point it was never going to happen. And now you have a chance of making it happen. And you know that AJ's career is winding down, right? It's a match we haven't seen before in WWE. Two fan favorites, just like we're going to get now with CM Punk and Jey Uso. So the dynamic is really no different. Got two baby faces in there. Punk and AJ for the World Heavyweight Championship. It writes itself, right? If you're not going to have Bron Breakker in there, that's the match that they should have done. And they didn't do it. And I really think that was a missed opportunity to do something special and something a little bit different. You know, instead of doing, all right, Punk and Usos or even Punk and LA Knight. You know, we've seen so many variations of this, you know, in the last few months. It's just exhausting. But I am not fully convinced that we are going to get a new World Heavyweight Champion crowned anyway at Saturday night's main event. Because you have to expect that Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed are not going to let sleeping dogs lie. They're not going to let this match go on without there being some sort of interference or something is going to happen. Now, maybe it happens next week because we have one more Raw, I believe one more, before Saturday night's main event. And so maybe next week, you know, they go around causing chaos and wrecking shop. And who knows? You know, they could hold the show hostage until Adam Pearce agrees to put Bron Breakker in the match and they make it a triple threat match. You had CM Punk on commentary tonight joking about that, saying, I hate triple threat matches. Hate them. Who knows? Maybe they turned it into a triple threat. Maybe Bron Breakker ends up getting added anyway, even though it would go against everything that Adam Pearce talked about tonight when he did not put them in the battle royal to begin with. But I look ahead and I say, if that doesn't happen, they show up at Saturday night's main event. They interfere. Nobody wins. Now, I know that would make for a pretty disappointing finish to the show, but I look ahead to Survivor Series, you know, which is coming up at the end of next month. And they're doing these War Games matches, so that kind of, I don't want to say makes it impossible, but it kind of makes it impossible. If they didn't have War Games advertised, this might be a little bit more realistic. But it's not lost on me that it's almost 20 years since the Deadly Game tournament that we had going into the Survivor Series. Another period of time where the WWE Championship, in that case, was vacant. The title was vacant. title was actually vacant for a couple of months. And they put together this big 16, was it 16 or 32? There were so many people involved. And they did the whole fucking thing in one night. You can't do that today. Not with these five-match PLEs, you can't. But they did the Deadly Game tournament. And again, it was mostly a bunch of 2-3-minute matches. But it's a memorable tournament, and they crowned the new world champion that night. And so here we are almost 20 years later going into the Survivor Series, and we have a vacancy with the World Heavyweight Championship. And it's like, man, you know, if you had the Bronze go in there in 2 weeks and wreck shop and we have no winner, they could still do this. Again, it's maybe less likely because they have a couple of War Games matches to promote, plus whatever John Cena is going to be doing, you know, maybe Dom. But you don't have to have the entire tournament in one night, even if it just comes down to the finals. Or the finals and the semis. You could build up a tournament, a real tournament, and have matches on TV and really just build it up throughout the month of November, and then ultimately crown a new World Heavyweight Champion on that show. You know, you have that option. I'm sitting here and I'm kind of mulling over, like, are we really just going to go into the show in 2 weeks and take the path of least resistance here? The laziest, most boring route possible. And just have CM Punk go in there and beat Jey Uso and win the World Heavyweight Championship. Because even if Punk ultimately wins the belt, that's not the way I want CM Punk to win the World Heavyweight Championship, by going in there and beating Jey Uso. Like, who cares? That doesn't inspire me. And I'm willing to bet it doesn't inspire too many of you either. So I was thinking of that and like, can you make that work? Yes, you can. You can. And that would take up, you know, as far as Raw goes anyway, there's your month of November as far as Monday Night Raw building up to this tournament and building up to a new World Heavyweight Champion being crowned. I don't know if that's something that they would consider. Again, they have a couple of War Games matches. You know, look, I talked about this on Friday. We don't know if the Vision, especially now with Rollins being hurt, we don't know if the Vision is going to be on the heel side of War Games. I watched that show on Friday night, and it sure felt like they were building something with the MFTs and the Wyatt Six, possibly in War Games, which I think would be terrible. But at least then, if the Vision wasn't involved in that, you could buy into the fact that, well, maybe they would be part of a tournament, and maybe then instead they're wrestling for the world championship on that show, right? It's doable. It's doable. But it just, I don't know, it just strikes me as we just want to get this over with as quickly as possible and not really have fun with it. I understand they were dealt a bad card. They weren't expecting Seth to get hurt. This was not what they planned for. And they've got to come up with an idea real quick because it affects television for the next few months and into next year. I get all that, right? It's a hard thing to recalibrate your plans on the fly like that. But if you're going to do it, you have to do it anyway. You know, have fun with it. Make the most of it. And don't just look at it as, well, we got to get this over with as quickly as possible and move beyond this so we could just get back to whatever we were planning on doing. I wish they would do a little bit more. As things stand right now, it don't look like that's what they're going to be doing. Unless, again, the Bronze cause a no contest, and maybe they do something like that. I would certainly like to see it. Now, we also have new tag team champions. AJ Lee. Are the new tag team champions. AJ Styles and Dragon Lee, they ended the very uneventful waste of a Judgment Day tag team title reign. You know, every single month that goes by, the decision to de-unify the tag team titles last year at WrestleMania looks worse and worse. With each passing month, it looks worse and worse. I mean, it's just, They said it themselves on commentary tonight. Like, this was the second title defense that the Judgment Day had of those tag team titles. They've had those titles since, what, June? I think May or June? I mean, why do we even have two sets of tag team titles at all in the first place? But hey, AJ Styles has gold. Not the gold people would probably like to see him have before he retires, although there's still time for that. But we had two other championship matches, both of which were intercontinental title matches, both of which ended with shenanigans here on this show. Fuckery, shenanigans. And then we had Stephanie Vaquer, and we had Roxanne Perez. And I'm a big fan of both women. Two of the best that they have in the women's division. Stephanie's had an incredible year, right? Won multiple championships, just won the Crown Jewel Championship a couple of weeks ago. They had a match tonight that was very unlike them. As in, it was not very good. It was a rare miss from these two women. And then they sent Nikki Bella out there, and I'm pretty sure she busted out of her top. We'll talk about it. This is your Raw on Netflix review. It is Monday night, October 20th, 2025. I am the Sala Monster. Thank you for being with me here on another Monday night. I know you're with me each and every single week. If you're not, you should be. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. It does help out the video. Super chats are open, and I will be reading your messages here. Whatever you have to say about this show tonight or where you think you would like to see them take the World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah, do you want to see Jey Uso win the title or CM Punk win the title? Do you want a tournament? How would you have done it? Let me know what you think about.
Off is the direction you can fuck.
Or you can tell me off is the direction I can go fuck, and that's what I'll have to do because you just dropped $22 on me. Jeremy Rose, thank you. I appreciate it. By the way, there is a couple new Super Chats, but there's a new $18 one as well with our old friend Rusev, as a matter of fact. So just be aware of that. Let's take it back to the top here because we had a very important announcement here at the beginning of this show. We had Lillian Garcia. She was filling in tonight for Alicia Taylor, and she announced the general manager, Adam Pearce, who was already standing in the middle of the ring to make an announcement about the World Heavyweight Championship. And his update was swiftly interrupted by an SUV that was arriving in the back, from which Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, and Paul Heyman emerged. Bron Breakker had the World Heavyweight Championship slung over his shoulder. Just looks natural, doesn't it? That title just looks natural over his shoulder. So they made their way to the ring where Pierce announced that as a result of what they did last week, Seth Rollins just underwent surgery on his shoulder that is going to keep him out for an extended period of time. And yes, this is not a work. I know people were doubting whether or not, you know, this was legit or not. And look, I get it. I understand it after what happened this summer. You have every right to feel that way, but pretty short order, this didn't feel like a work. And it would have been very dumb to repeat more or less the same angle twice in what, 3 months? That would have been fucking dumb. And even CM Punk, he was on commentary for the Battle Royal in the main event, and he said, I don't know, you know, Seth already, you know, fooled me once, and I don't know if I should buy into this or not. But yeah, Seth Rollins is hurt. I don't know exactly what the surgery was. There was talk either of a rotator cuff surgery or some other type of shoulder surgery. So we don't know exactly what the surgery was yet or the extent of it, the severity of the injury, because that could have an effect on whether or not he's back in 4 months or whether or not he's back in 7 or 8 months, right? It's a big gap there. So we don't know if it's something like his rotator cuff, if it was like a full tear. You know, I mentioned the other day, Chad Gable had rotator cuff surgery in July. We're heading into November. He's still not back yet. But he's going to be gone long enough that there's no way that they could keep that title on him. Now, of course, if Tony Khan were running the show, we would have an interim World Heavyweight Champion running around, but that's not how they do things here. So the World Heavyweight Championship was officially stripped from Seth Rollins. And he said, we're not going to have to wait very long, though, to crown a new world champion because we are going to do so in Salt Lake City at Saturday night's main event. And these fans in Sacramento booed this. They did not like that because they wanted a new world champion tonight. They don't give a shit about Salt Lake City. So they were not very happy about that aspect. But he announced that they would decide CM Punk's opponent in a battle royal tonight here in Sacramento. And everybody cheered. See, that they liked. Because at least they were getting a battle royal. So then Bron Breakker was told to hand over the world title, and he balked. He's not interested in this. And Paul Heyman went in his ear, and he tried to talk some sense into him. And ultimately, Breakker goes over to Adam Pearce, gets up in his face, and says, say please. And it takes everything in Adam Pearce not to just go off on this guy, but He asks him respectfully, please hand over the World Heavyweight Championship. And he does, but he hands it to Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman then hands the title to Adam Pearce, and Adam Pearce takes his leave, and he exits the ring, unscathed. So then it was promo time with Paul Heyman, who said that the Vision had nothing to do with Seth Rollins. He didn't betray Roman Reigns and CM Punk for Seth Rollins. He did what he did at WrestleMania because Bron Breakker is the future of WrestleMania. He pulled what he did because deep in his heart, he always knew that Bronson Reed was better than Roman Reigns. He proved it in Perth, Australia. And there's Seth Rollins pointing to the future with his one good arm. It says Rollins couldn't shoulder the response. Look at this. Paul Heyman coming out with Sidro jokes here on this show. He couldn't shoulder the responsibility of being world champion and leading the Vision into the future. He called him, he says he's a bum shoulder bitch. He says winners write history, and these are the winners. Seth Rollins was going to main event WrestleMania no more. That spot was taken from him by Bron Breakker. Breakker and Reed conspired to take that away from Seth Rollins. They pulled the trigger. And he thanked the crowd for their indulgence. And by the way, he said, welcome to Monday Night Raw. So they're going with the idea that this was all pre-planned by not just Bron Breakker, but Bronson Reed as well. Even though Reed had a look on his face last week like he had no idea what was going on. But that was the story that they were telling here on this show. As far as stripping Rollins of the championship, I mean, that's exactly what I expected them to do. If Rollins is hurt and he's out, right, it would have to be an injury that wasn't too bad that, you know, if they wanted him to go in there and drop it in a match. So you knew that this was going to be the end result. And at that point, there's only two options. You either do a battle royal or you do a tournament. It was going to have to be one or the other, and they chose to do the battle royal. Again, I think it would have been cool to do a one-night tournament on Saturday night's main event. Speaking of ideas, I mean, how cool would that have been, right? Saturday night's main event, probably a two-hour show. I would have most, if not all, of the matches that night. If it were up to me, I would have had a one-night tournament there dedicated to crowning a new world champion. And again, maybe you can't do all of the tournament matches there, but you do enough of them and really turn it into a special event. Again, maybe like Deadly Games style. And really make that show special, because now it's all about the world title, right? Now there's a goal. There's like one of those sonic gems that you're trying to reach up and grab. And now there's something really tangible on the line that makes that show very special. And instead they opted to do a battle royal here on this show. So that's what they chose to do. But I still believe that, you know, and I say in the long term, I'm not even thinking that far into the future. You got to crown Bron Breakker. Breakker is the here and now, and I think he's ready for that spot. I think now is the time to run with him. Even if CM Punk wins the World Heavyweight Championship in 2 weeks, I don't foresee him having that title for too long. I think whoever wins the championship, honestly, it's going to just end up transitioning over to Bron Breakker regardless. But that has to be the goal here. Like, Rollins is gone for a while. You know, Punk is not a long-term solution. Jey Uso, I have no interest in seeing him with the world title again. LA Knight, I mean, come on. Yeah, they're not putting anything on him. Breakker is the guy. You know, whether you do it in 2 weeks, you do it in a month, you do it in 2 months, Breakker is the guy. Now, they recapped Dominic Mysterio beating Penta to retain the Intercontinental title on last week's show. And they also aired footage from last week of Adam Pearce and AJ Styles messing around backstage with Dom and telling him, hey, let Balor and McDonough know. That's a great idea, because Dom was complaining, I feel like I'm the only champion ever defending my titles here. And out of that came the idea that, you know what, you're absolutely right. And I think that the Judgment Day should put the World Tag Team titles on the line against AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. So they showed us all of that. Then we come back live to the Judgment Day clubhouse. So Dom shows up. Balor and McDonough are not happy with him after what he caused last week. And Dom tells him, like, I defend my title almost every week, and I've already beaten both of your challengers tonight, right? So there's a lot of discord right now between these members of the Judgment Day. And that led into our first of three championship matches on this show, which was for the World Tag Team titles. AJ Styles and Dragon Lee, AJ Lee, defending, or challenging rather, Finn Balor and JD McDonagh for the World Tag Team titles. This was the first time that these titles have been defended at all since July 28th. July 28th. That was before SummerSlam. We're heading into Survivor Series. And it was only the second defense of their entire reign as champions so far. Hell of a tag team division you got there. It's also one of the casualties of having two sets of tag team belts and five matches on every PLE. This is what happens. So McDonagh and Balor, they cut off Dragon Lee. They worked him over in their corner. Styles eventually got the hot tag. He tried to run the ropes. McDonagh pulled the rope down, and AJ tumbled hard out to the floor. That took us into a commercial break. He was also favoring his knee on the landing. Later on, Dragon Lee got the tag. He went to the top, and McDonagh crutched him. He crutched him right in the head. He brained him. No, he crotched him on top. And then McDonagh got tied up, though, hanging upside down in the corner. So Dragon Lee came off with a double foot stomp. Balor pulled McDonagh out of the ring, so Lee just followed him out with a tope. Back inside, Lee went for a powerbomb. McDonagh, though, countered into a powerbomb of his own. Styles and Balor, they each got the tag. And Balor caught AJ with a sling blade, dumped Dragon Lee. Styles came back with a phenomenal forearm, but McDonagh made the save on that cover at the last possible second. It looked like three to me, but it was close. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. If you've ever been to a coffee shop, you sometimes see people sitting in there on their laptop working while they sip away on their latte. Now imagine that person gets up to go use the restroom and leaves all of their belongings unattended, including their computer. Sure, most of the time they're probably fine, but if they come out of that bathroom and that laptop grew legs and walked off, they really have no one to blame but themselves. That's what it's like being on the internet without ExpressVPN. You may be fine most of the time, but do you really want to put your personal data and your privacy at risk when you don't have to? I know I don't. It doesn't have to be a coffee shop. It could be at the airport, a hotel, a restaurant. If you connect to a network that's not encrypted, your data is not secure. Any hacker on that same network can gain access to and steal your passwords, your bank logins, your credit card information, you name it. All the things that you don't want falling into the wrong hands. And guess what? This is the part that should scare the wits out of you. I mean, it is Halloween season after all. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal information on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is the best VPN because it's super secure. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. It's also easy to use. Tap one button in the app and you're protected. It also works across all of your devices. We all have at least a couple of devices, right? And probably a lot more than that. So I'm talking your phone, your tablet, your laptop, even your smart TV. There's a reason ExpressVPN is ranked number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. You know, when I've been on the road traveling to different shows, I was in Philadelphia last month and I'll be back in Chicago next month. I usually have my laptop or my tablet with me. And I make sure I've got the ExpressVPN app installed on both of them because it gives me the peace of mind that I need to know that I've got the same level of protection away from home that I have here in my personal office. I won't settle for any less. I can't afford to. My data and my privacy are too important. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster. To find out how you can get up to four extra months, expressvpn.com/solomonster. So Styles caught McDonagh with a Pele kick. McDonagh, though, came back with a Spanish fly. Then he came off the top with a moonsault. Balor immediately followed with the coup de grace. Lee, though, broke up the cover. Dragon Lee then took out McDonagh with a dive. Styles blocked a Styles Clash attempt by Balor. And he rolled through into a proper Styles Clash, and he got the three count for his team. So AJ Styles and Dragon Lee are your new tag team champions. Dragon Lee wins main roster gold for the first time. The live crowd popped big for the finish there. I think more for AJ winning gold again than anything else. They had a hot match. And think about it. Like, we could have had more matches like this during this run. Because Finn Balor and JD McDonagh are a very good team. But we never really got to see it. Like, they have these titles for all this time. And I get it. They're heels and they don't want to defend them or whatever the story is. But, yeah, to think that we could have had more matches like this on TV during their run is, you know, it's a bummer. Because you just look at this at some point and just go, what's the point of this? You know, they're hoarding these belts and they're not doing anything with them. They're not putting them in the ring. I'm not saying they have to defend them every single week, but this was just a complete waste. You know, it was a waste of the titles and it was a waste of what we could have gotten out of these two. But also, it's not like the division is exploding with different teams either. I mean, let's not pretend that there's like a long list of half a dozen great tag teams waiting in the wings here on Monday Night Raw. There really isn't. But this is also one way to further the dissension that they have been teasing for like 3.5 years now between Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio, given that it was Dom who ran his mouth and got this match made in the first place. Balor, I'm sure, is going to blame Dom for why they are no longer the tag team champions. And, you know, Dom's got two titles of his own. So he better watch his back. I would like to see AJ win a few different titles before he hangs it up. Like, okay, he's one half of the tag team champions again. All right, fine. That's cool. But before he's finished and all said and done, you know, the Intercontinental title or the World Heavyweight Championship. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm just saying it would be nice to see it, you know, before he finally finishes up. Jimmy Uso was in his dressing room. He was taping up his fingers when Jey Uso entered. And Jimmy asked if he was supposed to acknowledge Jey now. Which was, that's kind of funny. Jey conceded that what he told Jimmy last week wasn't right. I already forgot what he told him. Jey said that he was mad at himself for making the same mistake that he did in Paris. And Jey mentioned something about the Big Oos. And Jimmy cut him off and said, Roman Reigns is not here tonight. Roman Reigns is not in the Battle Royal tonight. You know who is? I am. And so are you. And Jimmy said that Jey didn't lose his title because he stuck his neck out to help other people. He lost it because Jey stopped believing in Jey. And Jey said that Jimmy was right. And then he added that Roman might be right too. And Jimmy told him he better figure it out quick before the Battle Royal, because in the Battle Royal, he's going after everybody, including Jey. And then Jey asked, are we good? And Jimmy gave him a yeet. So again, what did I say before? Jimmy Uso at the end of that Battle Royal was very upset. He's the one in this promo backstage who told Jey, I'm coming for everybody in this match, including you. He can't be mad that Jey turned around and dumped him out of the ring. Like, bro, you can't have it both ways. You can't acknowledge on one hand that it's every man for himself and I'm coming for you. And then when the other guy comes for you, you know, cry like a bitch. That's not how this is supposed to work. We had Dirty Dom defending. He is the mega Intercontinental Champion. Defending the IC title here against Rusev. And Dom entered, and as soon as Dom entered, they went to a commercial break. So during the commercial, Dom took the microphone, and he was serenaded by Dirty Dom chants here in Sacramento. He's very over. So he goes to the ropes, and he poses, and everyone cheers. And he said, this feels a little bit different, but he's got to do what he's got to do to keep his title. And at that point, Rusev entered, and then they cut away, and they came back live. I should point out that Dom won their first match with the help of a low blow. So this was the rematch. Dom caught Rusev with a dive before he could even get into the ring. He threw him into the ring steps. Once the match began, though, pretty much, it was all Rusev. He was mauling this guy with shoulder blocks in the corner. Mysterio caught Rusev with a boot. He came off the middle ropes with a pair of axe handles. Mysterio tried to set up for the 619. Rusev, though, came back with a clothesline that missed, but everybody decided to sell it anyway. Rusev dumped Mysterio to the floor with a fallaway slam, and that took us into a commercial break. Now, back in the ring, Dom tried a suplex. Rusev blocked it. Dom shifted his weight into a DDT for a near fall. So Dom went to the top for a frog splash. Rusev, though, got the knees up. And then Rusev dropped him with a spinning Uranage. Mysterio had enough at that point. And so he tried to leave with both of his belts. He was going to exit through the timekeeper's area, but he stopped in his tracks when he spotted Penta, who magically appeared. So that was the end of that attempt there. Rusev, though, ended up grabbing Dominic and threw him into Penta. Penta then got in Rusev's face, so Rusev knocked him out. As this was going on, Dom very covertly reached over and grabbed the timekeeper's bell hammer. We saw him do this last week. It's how he beat Penta. He grabbed the hammer, tucked it away in his boot, right? Did the same thing here. He grabbed the hammer, he tucked it away in his boot. Rusev put him back inside. Dom got him in the ropes. He went for a 619. Rusev, though, caught his legs. And then he got him down on the mat, almost in a position like he was going to put him in a sharpshooter or something. But instead, he reached in and he pulled out the hammer from Dom's boot. And he was going to hit Dom with it, which would have been pretty fucking stupid because then he would have been disqualified. So the referee sees the hammer and, you know, hammer time. And so the referee tries to, he takes the hammer away from him. And as the ref goes to dispose of it, Mysterio kicks Rusev low again from behind. He kicked him, well, I guess the idea is he kicked him in his balls. It looked like he kicked him in the ass. And so now he's back in position for a 619. Dom hits it this time. And then hits a frog splash. And again, he pins Rusev to retain the championship. And then after the match was over, Dom's leaving. Penta hits Rusev in the ring with a springboard DDT. So they went with the same finish as last time, more or less. Yeah, but that's Dom's gimmick. I mean, he finds a way to win these matches against these people where you would think he has no chance of winning. Right? It's just such a mismatch. Rusev against, it'd be like putting Omos in the ring against Dom, right? As comical as that would be. It's like, okay, how is this guy going to figure out a way to win this match? Like, realistically, right? So he's got to be very creative with the ways that he comes up with to try to keep that title and win these matches. So you got a hammer in the boot, whatever it may be. So they did that finish again here. It feels to me like we may be headed for a triple threat match. With Dom, Rusev, and Penta, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens with Dom. You know, again, we're heading into the month of November, and the rumor is that he is going to be wrestling John Cena, possibly for the Intercontinental title at Survivor Series. And I know that has a lot of people excited because they want Cena to win the Grand Slam, you know, before he retires. And again, to me, I don't really care either way, but some people are just, he's got to win the Grand Slam. Has to do it. We'll see. We'll see if Dom even has the championship at that point. Maybe they just do a straight match with Cena and Dom, and there's no title on the line at all, because I just don't see the need for there to be a title on the line, especially if it's not the world championship. It'd be like if John Cena was in WCW for all these years, and he had been the WCW champion, he had been the United States champion, but damn it, John Cena was never the world television champion. And now John Cena's career is coming to an end. But we have to see him win that Grand Slam. I mean, we desperately need John Cena to win the TV title before he retires. Like, give me a break. Who cares? From one Intercontinental title to another, we had Becky Lynch defending her title against Maxine Dupri. Maxine Dupri won their first match. It was a shock. She won their first match by countout, and it was, I'll tell you what was a shock, it was how good the match was. It was much better than I expected it to be. So that's why she earned a shot here at the championship, because she won the first match, and they were in her hometown of Sacramento. So of course she had her family in the front row, including her parents, and she was super over when she came out. John Cena needs to win the 24/7 title. Hey, why don't you put the speed title on John Cena? How about that? Yeah, that's what we need. Actually, that might not be a bad idea. If you're John Cena, it's like a 3-minute match. Yeah, how come I don't see people clamoring to see Cena win the speed title? Wouldn't that count? So Maxine was getting her big shot here with Jessica Carr yet again as the referee for this match. And that's important to note because Becky Lynch has been having issues with Jessica Carr. Jessica Carr was the same woman who officiated the mixed tag match at WrestlePalooza. She was the same referee who officiated the first match between Becky and Maxine. Yes, between Becky and Maxine. And so she's blaming the referee. And so here she is again as the referee for her match. Something they're built. I'm telling you, they're building to something between these two. They've got to be building to something between these two. Lynch mauled Dupree in the corner with forearms and shoulder blocks. She tried for her manhandle slam, but Dupree countered into a roll-up for a near fall. Lynch came back and dumped Dupree to the floor. After a commercial, Maxine was still on the floor. She was struggling to get back into the ring. Once she did so, she countered another attempt at the manhandle slam with a jawbreaker. Dupree hit a pair of flying clotheslines. She set up a step-up leg drop, only got a near fall. Maxine pulled down the straps on her gear, got a big pop, and she hit a running knee for a near fall. Maxine again escaped the Uranage, but also caught Becky with a kick, and then she locked in an ankle lock. Now, Becky was able to kick her way out of it. She tried for an armbar, and Dupree countered out of the armbar in pretty impressive fashion. She basically, she was struggling in this submission hold. She kind of floated over into a position to reapply the ankle lock. And the fans popped for that, but she couldn't win with it. Maxine came off the top with a crossbody, got a close near fall. Becky rolled to the floor at that point, and she tried to leave with her belt, but Maxine brought her back into the ring, and Becky had enough at that point, and she hit Maxine with the belt, causing the disqualification. The same finish we saw at the end of SmackDown on Friday night when Cowardly Cody grabbed his belt and whacked Drew McIntyre in the head with it for the disqualification. They did the same thing here on this show. After the match, Becky drove a knee into Maxine's face in the corner and then finally put her down with the manhandle slam. I like their first match better. This one had its moments in the crowd, given that it was her hometown, firmly behind Maxine. She was drawing power from them and getting all fired up. And they got a couple of good near falls, a couple of believable near falls out of it. She's still a work in progress, but again, I can't hate on this because this is the sort of thing that she needs. It's the only way she's going to continue to improve and get better is having matches like this in front of these crowds against people like Becky Lynch. Right? And I thought she looked better in the first match, but she didn't look awful here. You know, there was definitely some clunkiness here in this match, but there's something there. And I think Becky is trying to bring it out of her and trying to put a spotlight on her by working with her because they're going to work again. This is not it. They've had two matches now, and Maxine Dupree has beaten Becky Lynch twice, once by countout and once by disqualification. So there's going to be another match. The championship is going to be on the line. At that point, it probably makes sense to do a no DQ, no countout match, right? There must be a winner. But whatever the stipulation may or may not be, we're going to get another match between these two. She'll get one more crack at it, and then maybe at that point, AJ Lee will come back, and they could do the match with AJ Lee and Becky Lynch, which, boy, did they get away from that. Yeah, they haven't really given any indication that they're going back to it, but I don't see why they wouldn't. I would assume that that's the next big challenger for Becky Lynch. They had highlights from their recent tour of Japan, including a photo of Rhea Ripley and her freshly broken nose. See, it's War Games season. Wouldn't be War Games season if Rhea didn't break her nose. Then we got a Kabuki Warriors vignette with Asuka and Kairi talking about how they've taken care of Rhea and Io. And now they are looking to hold tag team gold, so they're putting the division on notice for those women's tag team titles. What division? What is this division they speak of? Who is in this women's tag team division? Let's see. We have Twisted Bliss, or Twisted Queens, whatever they're calling them, right? Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. We have the Kabuki Warriors. I think Bayley and Lyra are being built up for an eventual tag team title match. You have, Chelsea and Alba, since Piper Niven is out. So you count the Secret Hervis, I guess you would count them. Sol Ruka and Zarya, who just lost. And who else? Who am I missing? Is there anybody else? That's not much of a division. Rhea and Io are not an official team. You want to count Rhea and Io? Okay, throw them in there too, but they're not really an official team. Blissful Flair? That should be their name? Blissful Flair. No, I don't like that. We can do better than that. Raquel and Roxanne, yes. The Judgment Day. The Judgment Day. I forgot about the... How could I forget about the Judgment Day? They're in like 17 segments on the show every single week. We'll get to them in a second here. We go backstage. Paul Heyman was waiting patiently outside, or maybe impatiently, outside of Adam Pearce's office to talk to him. He finally emerged and he let Heyman know that Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker, they were in the graphic. I had them taken out. And do you know why? Because they are out of the Battle Royal. And again, that is actually the sensible decision to make, given that they are the reason that title had to be vacated in the first place. As much as I really wanted to see Bron Breakker in that Battle Royal, it kind of makes sense that Adam Pearce would put his foot down and say, you know what, you two fuckers caused this in the first place. I'm not going to reward you by giving you a chance to become World Heavyweight Champion. Paul Heyman was not happy about this. And he told Heyman he might reconsider if he says, please. Which he did. And Pearce still told him no. And then he slammed the door in his face. When Heyman turned around to go leave, Becky Lynch was standing there, staring at him, very upset over what he did to her husband last week. So Heyman had all the excuses ready for what happened. He had no choice. The Bronze, they conspired together to do what they did. I had to get between them, you know, and your husband, and I did what I had to do. But he did say that just because Seth Rollins didn't survive the day last week doesn't mean that there isn't room for Becky in the Vision. So Becky leaned in, and she whispered in his ear, saying, I'm not buying the snake oil that you're selling, right? It's not going to work on me. She said Seth knew that Heyman would turn on him eventually, and he was actually surprised that it took this long. But don't worry, when he comes back, he's not going after you. He's going after whatever Nepo baby that Heyman has attached himself to. And then she left. After this, we had the women's world champion, Stephanie Vaquer, against Roxanne Perez. And this was a match that you would see this on paper and go, hey, this should be a pretty good match, right? That's what you would expect. So they go in that. Now, I don't know. Someone let me know. Were they on the Japanese tour? Because I think everybody just came back, you know, and I know that's a long trip and who knows. So if they were on that trip, maybe they were jet lagged. I don't know. Something felt off in this match. Vaquer tried for a package pile driver. Roxanne escaped, dropped to the floor to try to regroup. Back inside, Stephanie tried for a cradle. She got caught by Perez. So Stephanie went for the devil's kiss a little while later. Roxanne escaped. And behind the referee's back, Raquel Rodriguez, who was outside the ring, caught Stephanie with a right hand. So then after a commercial break, Vaquer hit a Meteora in the corner. She took Perez out of the corner with a dragon screw leg whip. Stephanie got the devil's kiss, but she was selling that her left wrist was bothering her. So Roxanne then decided to go after the wrist. Later on, Raquel was distracting Stephanie on the apron, and Perez snapped Stephanie's arm against the ropes. Vaquer, though, caught both women a short time later with a crossbody off the top rope. Actually, she caught Raquel. She barely even touched Roxanne. Back inside, Vaquer hit the Christopher Daniels Angel's Wings, dropping Roxanne face first onto her knees, and she got the pinfall. After the match was over, Raquel flattened Stephanie from behind with a clothesline or a forearm shot, I think it was. And so we had a 2-on-1 gang attack here. She was outnumbered, the champion was. When Nikki Bella's music hits, And she charged the ring and she cleared the heels until Raquel came back and mowed her down with a big boot. Stephanie then went for a springboard into the ring to Raquel. And on the attempt here at this springboard, she fucked up. And she slipped and she fell very awkwardly, kind of into Raquel, and they both went down. I mean, it's not like she crashed and burned and didn't even touch her, but it just, she fucked it up. And it didn't look good. And even worse, she came up lame. She came up holding her knee. And clearly she hurt her knee. Now, maybe she just hurt it. I'm not saying she injured it, but clearly she hurt her knee on the landing. And she was favoring it, which is something you never want to see. And the two baby faces, they dropped Raquel with a double drop kick that we missed, mostly. Because, at least on my end, the screen went blank. It went black. Which usually means that something is happening they do not want you to see. And in this case, when they came back, what I saw was Nikki Bella desperately trying to hold her shirt together. So you can draw your own conclusions from that as far as what may have been shown that they did not want you to see. She was struggling there. She's got a lot to close up here. She was struggling mightily to try to keep that shirt closed. Yeah, this was a mess. This was a mess. Even the match itself, you know, both women, as great as they are, they just seem really off tonight. Stephanie tried to bridge up at one point, which is not an easy thing to do. I feel like it's something we used to see a lot more often in wrestling. We don't see it as much anymore. The kind of bridging up spot takes a lot of core strength. Stephanie tried it. And she was going slowly, and it's like she ain't going to make it. And she didn't. They fell down. She tried it again. It wasn't working, so she kind of abandoned ship on that. And they went to a different spot. There was another point during the match here where Roxanne was on the ropes. And I think she may have been pushed, but she took a spill. If Raquel was not there outside to catch her, she would have taken a very bad, just like the way that she went for, kind of fell forward off the ropes. It would have been a very bad fall. If Raquel didn't reach out and catch her, that could have ended badly. And then that slip up by Stephanie here after the match, you know, it happens, but you hope that it's nothing serious. You know, when it comes to the knee, you always worry about that when they come up lame like that. We already had one world championship on this show vacated. We do not need another one vacated. Can you imagine if both crown jewel champions within a week of each other, they both injure themselves? How fucking terrible that would be. Now in the back later, Nikki Bella told Stephanie, who looked okay, how proud of her she was. So being her friend, she wanted to let her know that as champion, she's going to have a target on her back. And she wishes that when she was the champion, somebody would have given her that advice. Stephanie says, I owe you one. And of course, Nikki says, well, funny you should say that. I just made two enemies out there. So I'll probably be taking you up on that sooner rather than later. And Stephanie tells her, I've got your back. So maybe you want to throw them in there too? Maybe they could be a tag team now too? Just put people together. Stephanie and Nikki Bella as a team. Who asked for this? Who asked for this team? This week's episode is sponsored by Green Chef. I love the fall. Actually, I love Halloween. It's a scary season, my favorite holiday, and it happens to fall in the fall. And a lot of you may enjoy Halloween too and all the candy corn that comes with it, but not me. No more trick-or-treating for me. I've aged out of that. No, for me, it's a great time to start eating healthy again. And with Green Chef, the number one meal kit for clean eating, I can do just that. And so can you. Nothing scary about that. Green Chef makes it easy to spend less time in the kitchen and more time enjoying fall. And with their new Heat and Eat meals, you can enjoy a delicious meal in just 3 minutes. Green Chef recipes feature fresh, organic, seasonal produce and 100% responsibly sourced proteins to help you feel your best. We're talking real, clean ingredients that help you build lasting, healthy habits without the hassle. Enjoy salads ready in just 5 minutes. Protein-filled breakfasts, or nutrient-filled smoothies to fuel your day. Green Chef is ready to nurture your nutritional needs. With more than 80 dietitian-approved weekly meal options, Green Chef makes it easy to find meals that fit your lifestyle. from Mediterranean and gluten-free to plant-based and protein-heavy to gut and brain health and calorie-smart options too. The recipes change week to week, and with that weekly flexibility, you can adjust your plan to match your mood and your schedule. As someone that has eaten with Green Chef before, I can speak to the quality of the meals that I've had delivered right to my door. They haven't missed yet. They're undefeated when it comes to flavor and filling me up. I'm looking ahead to their menu for Halloween week. You can find some of the upcoming meals on their menu right on their website. If you're looking for a gluten-free, dairy-free option like me, they've got blackened tilapia bowls with black bean and corn rice, or buttery lemon garlic shrimp with bacon. Oh my goodness. I see it comes on a bed of spaghetti. That's if you're looking for a fiber smart dish. Or maybe the sesame ginger bavette steak and shrimp is more up your alley if you're looking for a keto option. Whatever you're in the mood for, they've got it. One thing it did for me was it saved me a ton of time in the evening when I was preparing dinner, which I appreciate. Let Green Chef take care of dinner for you too. Make this fall your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head to greenchef.com/50solomonster and use code 50solomonster to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50solomonster at greenchef.com/50solomonster. Backstage, Adam Pearce met with Lyra Valkyria. They were chatting it up. And Lyra was updating him on how things had been progressing with her and Bailey when Bailey showed up. And Pierce could not leave fast enough. His feet could not carry him fast enough out of there. He's like, all right, I'm out. Peace. And Bailey then mentioned that Lyra's birthday is coming up and said that she would have a surprise for her on the show next week. Lyra had a very worried look on her face. Maybe Bailey could find Yerpal the Clown. Remember Yerpal? Think she's still alive? She's probably still alive. But she wasn't that old when we saw her last, but I wonder what Yerpal is up to these days. Elsewhere, Bron Breakker tells Paul Heyman, I'm having a tough time understanding, us being out of the Battle Royal, so maybe you can explain it to us. And Heyman says, there was this rookie back in 2002, named Brock Lesnar. And he could have eaten through the entire roster in his very first night. But he didn't. He listened to Heyman. And 5 months later, he beat The Rock to win the championship. Then he mentioned CM Punk nearly being thrown out of WWE early in his run there, but he listened to Paul Heyman. And he went on to be the world champion for 434 straight days because he listened to Paul Heyman. And who remembers the big dog? I do, unfortunately. I think we all remember the days of the big dog. But he says, who remembers the big dog? He made Roman Reigns the tribal chief. He listened to Heyman, and everyone remembers the reign of the tribal chief. How can we forget? It was 3.5 years. It's hard to forget about that. He says, you want to see the vision of the WWE? He said, the two of you should just look in the mirror. That is the future of WWE. See, nobody is better at just bullshitting his way through a conversation than Paul Heyman. He basically said a whole lot of nothing here in this segment and then left. He's like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to tell them what I think they want to hear and I'm going to fucking leave. Because what's he going to say, right? Adam Pearce made his decision. There's nothing he can do about it. So Heyman walks off. Breakker says, I've got a lot to learn, huh? And Reed says, me too. And Breakker says, a lot of people to hurt too. And Reed says, me too. And then it was time for the Battle Royal to crown a challenger, not even a number one contender, but crown a challenger for CM Punk at Saturday night's main event for the World Heavyweight Championship. Speaking of which, CM Punk came out. He came out last. And he did commentary here for this Battle Royal. And here were the participants in the Battle Royal. We had Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso. We had LA Knight. We had AJ Styles, Dragon Lee, Dominic Mysterio, Rusev, Penta, Sheamus, Tozawa, El Grande Americano, Kofi Kingston, Grayson Waller, Finn Balor, and JD McDonagh. So we got an early standoff here between Otis. Fucking, I forgot to mention Otis. First fucking spot of the match. That's the one guy I forgot to mention. Fuck me. So we got Otis and we got, who is it? Otis and Ivar. There we go. Ivar. I didn't mention Ivar. The fuck is wrong with me? We got a face-off between the two big men here. The two biggest guys in the match, no less. Otis ended up, though, the first man out. Tozawa ripped his shirt off and he tossed it. And it landed perfectly. When he tossed his shirt, it landed perfectly on Sheamus, like on his shoulder. I don't even think Sheamus realized it. It's like the perfect shot. Tozawa, though, was eliminated next by Rusev. So Dragon Lee went for a springboard. McDonough and Balor, they caught him and they sent him flying backwards out to the floor. Penta and Rusev, they brawled on the apron and Dominic ended up shoving both of them to the floor. So after this, we got a forearm battle between Sheamus and Ivar. Sheamus tried to lift him, but he couldn't do it. Ivar charged, and Sheamus basically backdropped him out of the ring, but Ivar hung on, so he was not yet gone. They both ended up on the apron together. Sheamus lifted him and delivered white noise on the apron, and Sheamus hung on to the rope. Ivar did not, so Ivar tumbled to the floor, and that was the end of him. El Grande Americano loaded up the mask at this point with his tiny metal plate, and Jey Uso punched him in the head and hurt his hand in the process, but El Grande got dropped with a 1D by the Usos, and they eliminated Americano. We got a This Is Awesome chant here in the middle of this battle royal. We don't see too many of those. This crowd was at least into it. This crowd was very loud for this match. Sheamus dumped McDonough and Balor at the same time. Balor, though, hung on. McDonough did not. But Balor did, and so Sheamus delivered the 10 beats, and then Balor fell to the floor. So he was gone. So McDonough then gets back up on the apron, and so Sheamus is going to do the same thing to him. He starts delivering the 10 beats. When Balor reaches up and pulls Sheamus out over the top into the floor, and at that point, Sheamus snapped. He went after both of them. This giant brawl erupted with officials trying to get in between them. Man, poor Sheamus, man. He gets eliminated here from the Battle Royal. His dog just died a few days ago. He posted about it on his Instagram. So it's been a rough week for him. In the ring, AJ Styles eliminated Dominic Mysterio. But because all of the referees were tending to the brawl, outside on the opposite side of the ring by the aisle, you know, Dom got thrown out in front of where the announcers are. There were no referees there. So he sneaks back into the ring and tried to dump AJ. AJ held on, though. But Dom is still in because the referees didn't see it. He pulled a Stone Cold and it worked. So he is still in the Battle Royal. And at that point, Punk on commentary talked about years ago the debate between, as he said, George Steinbrenner and Bobby Heenan. He goes, we need instant replay. And I popped. But I hate to be that guy. I hate to be that guy. Because I know what he was referencing. And I did pop for the reference. But I must put my nerd hat on here. And I must tell you that Bobby Heenan actually was not involved in that segment. But what he's referring to was they had this, it's a very weird segment that was totally out of place, but it was like a gag. They did it for comedy on WrestleMania of all things, right? WrestleMania 7. They did this segment where Vince McMahon was like in studio and he was sort of officiating, I guess, or moderating a debate via satellite. You had George Steinbrenner, the then owner of the New York Yankees. And on the other side of the screen was Paul McGuire, who at the time was an analyst for the NFL. And they were having a debate about the pros and cons of instant replay. And it just, again, degenerated into comedy. And it was such a great piece of TV. I believe it is edited out of the Peacock version of WrestleMania 7. I don't even think it's in there. I think when it came out on DVD, they cut it out of there as well. So I don't even know where you can find it, but I understood the reference. But there was no Bobby Heenan in that segment. So Styles eliminated Kofi Kingston. He went for a BFT to AJ Styles, but AJ avoided it. He got Knight in position for a Styles clash, but Knight fought out of it. And then Knight locked on a reverse Boston Crab, which looked kind of cool, except for the fact that this guy put a fucking submission hold on somebody in the middle of a battle royal. So Knight had Jey Uso staggering around on the apron. And we got a yeet battle with the fists, you know, back and forth. Until Jimmy Uso caught LA Knight with a super kick, and he saved his brother. So Jimmy helped Jey up, and they caught AJ Styles, who was coming out of midair with, I guess, a phenomenal forearm attempt. But as he's flying through midair, the Usos catch him and cut him down with a double super kick. Knight, and actually Jimmy, then dumped AJ Styles. So LA Knight and Jimmy, they got all tangled up in the ropes. And you're just waiting to see, like, okay, who's going to dump? Because they're, like, over the top rope, waiting for someone to come over and dump them out. And the person who comes over to dump them out was actually Jey. Except if you go back and watch it, it almost looks like just as Jey was getting there, they were already going out over the top. Maybe I just saw a bad angle of it. It looked like they were already going before Jey even got there. But Jey rushes over and he dumps both of them out of the ring. Even though his brother saved him, I think twice in this battle royal, he still dumped out Jimmy. So now we're down to two. We're down to Jey Uso and Dominic Mysterio. And Dom gets him in the ropes in position for a 619. As he comes in for it, though, Jey dumps Dom out over the top rope. And Jey Uso wins the battle royal. Jey Uso will challenge CM Punk on Saturday night's main event for the World Heavyweight Championship. Jimmy Uso was not happy about what his brother did to him. And I'm just watching this, thinking to myself, you know, it's every man for himself, big boy. You knew the rules coming in. This is not your first rodeo here. Big Jim here talking earlier in the night about how I'm throwing everybody out. Yeah. Don't you look like a fool? But man, he's all upset. How can you do me like this, right? He's looking back up in the ring, and Jey doesn't look remorseful in the least. He's on the ropes. He's yeeting. He's posing, right? He's going to Saturday night's main event. Punk gets in the ring. We got a face-off with him and Jey to close the show. They went nose-to-nose, and that is how it concluded. As battle royals go, I actually liked it. You know, it wasn't a battle royal that any of us are going to remember a few weeks from now or a few months from now, but for all the television battle royals that we've seen, I enjoyed it for the most part. Not so much the finish, but the crowd was super into it. But this is just not a match that gets me excited at all. You know, I can't even pretend to be excited about CM Punk and Jey Uso being the main event. I shouldn't even say that because I'm pretty sure we're getting Cody and Drew for the title on that show. And if they know what they're doing, we'll get a title change. But I just can't bring myself to get excited about a CM Punk Jey Uso World Heavyweight Championship match at this point. Again, Bron Breakker not being in it. If you come at it from a logic perspective, it makes sense that Adam Pearce would not want him to be in there. So I'll give them that. But man, you know, AJ Styles was in that fucking battle royal, man, and the chance to do CM Punk and AJ for the title on that show and do a special match like that, especially if Punk is going to end up getting the belt anyway, I just think it's a missed opportunity. If you were going to do that match, that feels like it would have been a good place to do it, unless that's going to be a WrestleMania match, but I would imagine they have something bigger planned for CM Punk on that show next year. So it sucks that they didn't, you know, go in that direction. I'm still not totally convinced they're going to do crown a new champion on that show. I still feel like there is a pretty decent chance that the Vision will get involved. There'll be some kind of fuck finish, and they're going to drag it out a little bit longer. You know, I mean, because you're close enough to Survivor Series where I feel like you may as well. Right? That's your big show next month. It's not Saturday night's main event. Saturday night's main event is the show that is likely, you know, you're going to have an angle or a finish or whatever that will build to whatever the bigger angle is going to be or the bigger match is going to be in San Diego. And that's okay. It all depends on how you do it, right? It would be kind of lame to promise a new world champion and then not deliver it. But I just feel like if they have a good idea to follow up on it, you know, like a tournament, I can get behind that. You know, that I can get behind because I feel like that would be fun. That would make things a little more interesting than just, oh, well, CM Punk pinned Jey Uso, and now he's the world heavyweight champion. Okay. If you were going to do that, you may as well make the match special. That's why I said Punk and AJ Styles, at least. If you're just going to do a match like that and put the belt on Punk, I'd much rather see that. But the Bronze obviously are not going to let this stand. So we'll see what happens next week. Maybe they start wrecking people next week, or they save it for 2 weeks from now. I guess we'll find out. But man, of all the possible outcomes here, they went with the least interesting. I'm digging the story between Jimmy and Jey. I'm not saying that it's a bad story, but in terms of the matches that they could do on that show, man, that is not the one that I would have done. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. See what you thought of this show here. What did you think of Raw from Sacramento? 65.5% thumbs up, 34.5% thumbs down. That was 27 years ago, not 20. Would you stop aging me, please? Are you telling me Deadly Game was almost 30 years ago? 30 years ago? I can't believe that. I refuse to believe this. Can't be possible. We have 371 likes, by the way. We're still about 30 away from our Be the Booker goal. Although we got a bonus one in the chat. We're getting pretty close. Hey, Death Scythe. I'm going to start with you, man. We got some good shit here. Let's get through this. Death Scythe with a pair of super chats. Man, I can't believe that, man. Almost 30 years since that Deadly Game tournament. That is... Where the fuck does the time go, man? Deathside says, last time I mentioned CM Punk being AJ Styles' final opponent, I meant the match would take place at the Elimination Chamber in Chicago. They could even headline with it. If Punk wins the Royal Rumble, the match could then be for Punk's WrestleMania title shot. You could do that. Again, it's just so, especially a babyface. So dumb if they're like, oh, yeah, I'll put my guaranteed title match at WrestleMania that I work my ass off for by winning the Royal Rumble and outlasting 29 other men. I'll put that on the line. But in the case of Styles, you know, if people know going into it that it's going to be his last WrestleMania, you know, you can really turn that into kind of an emotional thing where people would want to see him beat Punk and get that shot because that might be his last opportunity to become world champion. I mean, that could work. But then he says, if WWE wants to extend his contract, then AJ could face Gunther at WrestleMania. The kickoff with Gunther could be he mocks AJ, how he failed to win the Royal Rumble and failed to beat Punk at Elimination Chamber. Now he is retiring as a phenomenal failure. Yeah, and I would have him push the idea, especially if he's the one who wrestles Cena in his final match. He could just push that, you know, I retired Bill Goldberg and I retired John Cena. Now I'm going to retire you. See, I feel like AJ then should win. Joseph Stewart, in your opinion, which Joker smile was scarier, Jack Nicholson or Heath Ledger? Scarier? Scarier. See, the Nicholson one was creepier. I feel like Ledger was scarier just because of the scars and not knowing how he got them. He had a different story every time he said, "How you want to know how I got these scars?" I'll go with Ledger. Have you seen the Jack Nicholson and Jennifer Lopez movie Blood and Wine? I have not. Did you know Tim Curry was originally supposed to voice the Joker in Batman the Animated Series before Mark Hamill? I did not know that. I saw a video of Tim Curry recently at an event. He's in rough shape. I don't know the affliction that he has, but he was still out and telling jokes and telling stories. So, I mean, good for him, man. Did you know that Al Pacino was going to voice Two-Face and Harvey Dent in Batman the Animated Series before Richard Mole was cast? Can you imagine that? Al Pacino voicing a Batman cartoon? That would have been wild. Deathseye says, I was thinking, what if it was Roman Reigns who attacked Jacob? Nah, it doesn't make sense to me, though. Why would he do that? Why would he care that Jacob was about to potentially challenge for the WWE Championship? I guess the only story there you could tell is that he, you know, wants to be champion again one day and does not want another member of the family to sort of usurp him. I guess that could be the story, but to me it's just reaching too much. It's just reaching too much. Dry Chicken says, Triple H making me hate pro wrestling in America when it comes with his booking decisions. He doesn't do pro wrestling. He does sports entertainment. Says, thank goodness Shawn Michaels and Tony Khan are around. Well, it's good to have variety. Shawn Michaels has his way of doing things. Every promoter has their way of doing things. Triple H does tend to play it very, very safe. He tends to coast. And he loves putting his face out there. He loves to put his name on things, put his stamp on it. Dry Chicken says, throughout the rest of the year, I'm focusing on John Cena's final match appearance for WWE, not watching Raw or SmackDown until there is improvement. SmackDown has shown some signs of improvement the last couple of weeks. They still have a ways to go, but they seem to be recognizing that changes are needed. That's the first step, recognizing that you have a problem, and then you can address them. Colin says, who did Rusev piss off backstage? It seems he keeps getting wily coyote'd by Dominic Mysterio every other week. Yeah, but so does everybody else. It's not just Rusev. Penta does too. You know, they're pushing Dom. They're pushing Dom at the expense of people like Penta right now. And Rusev is just another one in the bunch. It's not like they're singling him out. I mean, he did win the feud with Sheamus. I think before tonight, we hadn't even seen Sheamus on TV since he lost that last match to Rusev. Dr. Scorpio. Let's go Blue Jays. We're going to the World Series. Good game, Seattle. Heck of a series. And it would take a divine intervention to beat the Dodgers in the World Series. But proud of this team. We got Hydrograd 57. Says, have not watched Raw yet since I am watching the Seahawks game, but I just wanted to hop on here real quick and show you some love, Solo. Been a while since I've donated. Have a great stream. I will catch it later tonight. Thank you, Hydrograd. Good to hear from you. It has been a while. Good to know you're still with us. We got JDF VA. When do we get three-piece suited Solomonster? I'm going to have to do better than a Monday Night Raw stream for that. Tell you what, if we ever do like a wrestling wedding in House of Glory, I may have to break out the three-piece suit. I may have to officiate the ceremony. I may have to do the training online so that I could be the officiant? What do you call that for officiant? I could officiate the ceremony. Jeremy says, first off, glad to hear Redline start off the show. Took an unfortunate injury needed to make Raw interesting and watchable again, but damn, LA Knight cannot even get the spot when Seth is out. The hate is real on Triple H's side. I knew LA Knight wasn't getting it. I just knew. Also, he says, let me see here. Let me grow up here. Don't know who is going to be in the WrestleMania main event, but Braun needs to beat CM Punk at Elimination Chamber to get a spot. That would be some epic heat in Chi-Town. Yes, it would be. If you went in there and beat Punk in Chicago, O to the J. I was at Raw tonight, hot crowd, and I could finally say that I saw CM Punk do what he does best, and it sure as shit isn't wrestle. Dirty Dom and Maxine Dupree were incredibly over. Well, Maxine, obviously, it was her hometown, and Dom's been getting babyface reactions in a lot of cities. When the time is right to like actually turn him, he's going to be a huge babyface. We got B-Man the Champ. What if the Wyatts recruit John Cena to help them fight the motherfucking Tongans? I know that's not what MFT stands for, but it is in my heart. For War Games. No. Although I do agree, that's what it does actually stand for. Bobby's World with the 50. Up for the manager position where I work. Never wanted to be a manager in my whole life, but perhaps this is the way. Oh, when you start seeing those paychecks as the manager, it'll be the way, all right. Could use some good vibes from the great Solo and the amazing Gunther. Well, Gunther always sends you positive vibes. And so do I, and so do all of us. I hope you get the position, buddy. Because it'll be more money in your paycheck. I mean, what's not to like? It'll be more responsibility, too. I don't know what the position would entail in your case. Depends on what the job is, but I know you're going to kill it. Then you get to write in next week and tell me that you got the position. We got MacTub. What are some of your favorite Royal Rumble performances besides 92 Ric Flair? I feel HBK's in 2010, despite not being an Iron Man, was beautiful. And Austin in 97. Yeah, there was one with DiBiase that he was in there for like 55 minutes or something. Rick Martel, I think, in 91 had a pretty long performance. I remember that. That was a pretty good one. Yeah, a lot of people talk about like Foley in 98. Three faces of Foley. I didn't really care for that. Yeah, the Michaels one is pretty memorable. Brock in 2020. I think that's a great rumble. A lot of people bitched about that, especially going into it. Oh, you got Brock in there. He's the champion. What's he doing in there? And then he was just eliminating people. But I love what they did in that rumble. So those would be some of them. Spartan Sprinkles. Well, this was the chance to give LA Knight a run. Abyssal Zones. I definitely wanted a Punk versus Knight title feud. You'll get Punk and Jey Uso and like it. Yeet. JDFVA, here's my idea. Cross-brand tag and women's titles. Dude, the tag team title should be cross-brand. I've been saying this forever. You know, I mean, they de-unified them, and SmackDown was on a roll there for a while. Now it's Stone Cold. Raw's not much better. And you look over at AEW, and they're having a tag team resurgence. You know, what used to be their strength 5-6 years ago, they got away from it, and now all of a sudden, it's like, almost like overnight, it's like, man, we got a real fucking hot division here, you know, with a ton of different teams. You know, and I wish they had that in WWE right now. We got the real Vinnie Mac. They should do a 10-man, every man for themselves War Games match for the vacant belt. First person to get a fall wins after everyone has entered. You could do that. Yeah, but then you would just have people going for fucking falls every 5 seconds. Why wouldn't they, right? It'd be an interesting way to do a War Games match. I'm not saying you can't do it. You can do something like that. B-Man the Champ, I forgot. Congrats to Vacant for yet another reign. Yes, Vacant claims another one. Prince Vegeta says, I believe that one of the worst booking decisions Triple H made this year was AJ not winning the Intercontinental title in France. By the way, F you, Dave, for not giving Cena AJ 5 stars. Dude, he never gave Kurt Angle a 5-star match. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25 had 4¾ stars. And I guarantee you, if that match was in Japan, it would have had the full Monty. All depends on the location. It was in Houston, though. It wasn't in Tokyo. So it's only good for 4.75. Honestly, who gives a shit? Seriously, who cares? It was a great match. I always say that Hogan Rock from WrestleMania 18, 5-star match. You know, and I think he gave it like 3. You know, or something like that. Like, who cares? Dude here, 73. I was hoping for Styles to win the Battle Royal too. Would have been a fun match against Punk and something fresh. No story behind the match, but that didn't stop Styles and Cena from having a classic. No, it did not. And in this case, I wouldn't fault them for it because, again, they're trying to crown a new champion. Somebody got hurt. Not a lot of time to build up a story for that match. So I would let them slide on this one. If they wanted to do Punk and AJ or I mean, whatever match, is not going to have much of a story to begin with. MacTub, rank as draws. Cena, Lesnar, Taker, Goldberg, and Roman Reigns. I mean, Goldberg was a big draw for WCW for a hot minute. But it was during an era that is very popular. But, I mean, as far as draws, he's pretty low on the list. Cena is number one. Yeah, I mean, you got to go Cena, you got to go Roman. Goldberg's run just wasn't long enough. He just wasn't long enough. That's the problem there, you know? Probably would go Cena, Roman, Taker, Goldberg, and then Lesnar. Probably something like that. Julia Hart fan says, Maxine Dupri versus Stephanie Vicaire, 20 minutes, 5 stars. Natalya right up there with Sabin and Belichick. I don't know, Belichick's not doing too well, right? Or so I hear. Prince Vegeta, I'm a Punk fan, but Drew carried that feud last year, in my opinion. But Drew has gotten 0 world titles since then, and Punk's about to get another one. Give Drew his flowers. Doesn't have to be for long, but come on. Dude, I would do it on Saturday night's main event. He absolutely should win that championship from Cody. Jeremy Rose says, I thought we were done with Nikki Bella. You thought wrong. And the Bella army is strong, man. She's not going nowhere. Emperor Comet Skynet for Booker of the Year. Elijah with a 999. Sidebar, I've been MIA for a while due to work, so forgive me if this has been answered. But did Tonga Loa Superfan disappear as soon as Tonga Loa returned to the ring? Because I have a theory. He did, but then we ended up with Tama Tonga Superfan. And ever since Tama Tonga came back, we have not heard from Tama Tonga Superfan. I have a couple of theories myself. Jeremy Rose, any chance that Jimmy and Jay part 2 at WrestleMania? I hope not. If it's anything like part 1, I hope not. But I think they would probably want to try to erase the memory of that first match and do better the second time. I hope not. But you know what? If it keeps Jay away from the World Heavyweight Championship for a bit, then have at it. Yeah, that match was just fucking god-awful. Man, that match was so fucking terrible. Oh my god. Why would anybody want to see part 2? Bass Beer says, I hear Sacramento, I think of The Rock singing. You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. I hear Sacramento, I think of 2 things. I think of The Rock concert on Raw. and I think of the Royal Rumble in 93. I think that was at the Arco. Those are the two things, the first two things that come to mind for me. We got Arabian Night. It says, Jay gets pushed just because he has a cool entrance and obviously being a Nepo. LA Knight will never fully get a true shot because he got organically over, and WWE hates that. Yeah, they're not really too fond of that. They've shown that in the past. Devin from NJ, buy or sell Long Island or Staten Island? Long Island. Elijah, we need a bonus round in case the Wyatt Six ruined the first one. He says the Wyatt Sox. There's that WWE shop idea. I wouldn't be surprised if they already have that up there. You could buy your own pair of the Wyatt socks. I hope they don't sell one sock, though, for like $8 like they did Mr. Socko. And, you know, this guy right here spent $8 on one sock many years ago. It's not my finest moment. Navy says, Mercedes Moné won 1,000 belts, never drew a dime. I heard that in the Mike Graham voice in my head. She's got 12. How many more will she collect? Arabian Night, why does Punk need to win the Royal Rumble? He's already a top guy and in his late 40s. It should be Sami Zayn or a young guy, someone who could benefit and ascend to the next level. Who is saying that CM Punk has to win the Royal Rumble? I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about me. I've never said that I think CM Punk should win the Royal Rumble in Saudi next year. He doesn't need to. Dr. Scorpio, so Mercedes has another title. Did someone had her brain removed and put it back in, or am I confusing her with TK? Good Lord, thanks for watching AEW. That's, you're thinking of the Shibata story, where Dave said that he had his brain removed and then put back into his skull. We have Mr. Fury with us. Hey, Solo, are you going to see Black Phone 2? I'd like to. I've been reading some pretty good things about it. I saw Black Phone many years ago, and I enjoyed it. So I would like to try to see this one. Alex with that 25 says, Brother Solo, if we do end up getting Rock versus Roman or Cody and Punk against Austin for WrestleMania 43 in Saudi, which match officially finishes the show, and are you excited for any of those matches? As I sit here right now, no, not really. I can't say that I am. I mean, which match closes the show? You got two nights. You can close with both of them. Now that you got two nights, it doesn't really matter. But if Rock is wrestling, then you're ending with The Rock. I mean, period, end of story. That's it. But again, you got two nights. So, like, you could do Austin and Punk on night one, and then Rock and Cody, or Rock and Roman on night two. I've heard that Black Phone 2 is as close to a Nightmare on Elm Street movie in some ways. Huh. Well, I was never really a big Freddy guy. I've seen a couple of the movies. I didn't see all the movies. I don't think that would affect me very much. I mean, is that a bad thing? Aren't there a lot of people who love the Nightmare on Elm Street movies? I mean, I'm not reading anything about the plot and, like, specifics and stuff, but, like, I'm just saying things I've heard is that, you know, it's well-received. I don't even know when it's coming out. When's the release date? I don't know. I do know that we hit our bonus goal in the chat. Look at that. We are 10 out of 10 there, and we also have 446 likes, and you know what that means. That means that we are getting a double dose We are getting a double dose of Be the Booker. Gold Standard with the 5. Says, Raw was better than Wrestle Dream this week. Thank you, Gold Standard. Jason is an all-time favorite. Freddie has better quality movies. What about Michael? You didn't mention the best one of all. Halloween, baby. Let's be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Is Rock even as strong as he used to be since he trimmed down immensely? Well, he trimmed down for a movie. Rock is always just one cheat meal away from being right back to the same physique he had before. Although as he gets older, it's harder to maintain a physique like that without some chemical assistance. I really have no interest in seeing Rock back in the ring. So we got that great final boss run there. You know what that turned into, and you know what? That's good enough for me. But let's do it. We got one round to go through, and then we got our bonus round. Always good night when we have the bonus round. We got Kaz. We got Enzo. Big Cass and Enzo Amore. Look how young they look. They look like babies. They're going to be taking on... we got more of the bloodline here. Samu and Fatu. We have the Head Shrinkers against Kaz and Enzo. I'm going to give that a bell. Be kind of funny to see the Samoans beating the hell out of Enzo. Man, we just can't get away from this bloodline, can we? They're everywhere. Oh, it's Riho. Riho is back. You know what I love about Riho? She shows up out of nowhere after being gone for months and months and months and months and months. And she just randomly shows up. And she's wrestling for the championship. And then she loses. And then she disappears again. Like, have we even seen her since she lost to Mercedes? I've never seen anything like it. Like, she reappears and then just instantly disappears and nobody even really notices. And then one day she'll just randomly reappear again, like 8 months from now. I don't get it. Riho and Lash Legend. Riho and Lash Legend? I don't know. Maybe I should have gone for a bell. Lash has made some great improvements. And I don't know. Her and Riho, is that a good clash of styles there? I don't know. Not really feeling that one. All right. Our first main event. Look who it is. Look who it is, everybody. Look at this badass guy. It's Vato Sting. You don't want to fuck with this guy. You do not want to fuck with this guy right here. Vato Sting is the most dangerous of all the Stings. And he's going to be taking on... This isn't R-Truth. It's actually Ron Killings, because he's got all... That's the night he cut all of his hair off, which ended up being fucking pointless. But Ron Killings is a former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. As is Sting. Ron Killings and Vato Sting. Now that's a main event that I would pay $5. And I would go say, maybe 10. Maybe 10. We'll say 10. Go see that main event. Who wins, Vato Sting or Grandpa Sting? Oh, man, I don't know. Grandpa Sting now with the white hair and that fucking magnificent goatee. Like Yellowstone Sting. It's a hard one to beat. Where has he been? Where? Oh, killings? He's nowhere. He's employed. Because they fired him. They let him go. And they got a lot of shit for it. So they hired him back. But they didn't hire him back with any actual plans on what to do with him. So he's collecting dust. But at least he's employed again. Oh, God, the vigilante. It's the vigilante Sting. That's not Sting. That's a picture of Sting. Oh, my God. All right, so our second round, we have stipulations here, as you guys know. And our, oh, my God. Why? It's just like the third time I feel like I've landed on this in the last 3 weeks. Somebody has it out for me. Punjabi prison match. We have a Punjabi prison match. And it's going to be a women's match because I've made the decision here. This is going to be a women's match. We have Lita. Lita can't do a moonsault off the top of the Punjabi prison. Lita and Naomi. Now, if this was anything but a Punjabi prison match, I would say, you know what? That'd be a pretty good match. But it's not. So, I have to give it the buzz. Because that sounds like it would be a terrible stipulation for a Lita and Naomi match. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. There will be no clean sweeps tonight. We have ourselves a full Metal Mayhem match. This is a TNA stipulation. Full Metal Mayhem is that like basically their TLC equivalent? I believe it is. So we're going to have a Full Metal Mayhem tag team match. I have decided. With the Rhodes brothers, Cody Rhodes and Goldust. I'm going to pick three teams for this. All right, so that's team number one. We have the Young Bucks. Look at this. Cody and Dustin. The Young Bucks. This is supposed to be a TNA match, not an AEW match. And the Rock and Roll Express. Ricky and Robert. You know, they just uploaded, I think, a two-hour compilation on the WWE Vault channel. I think it's literally nothing but Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express matches. If you are an aspiring wrestler or an aspiring tag team wrestler, especially, I would advise you to go check out that video. Learn as much as you can and borrow as much as you can from what you see in that video. All right, we got our main event. Here we go. Here we go, baby. What are we looking at here? What are we looking at? Where you're looking at an APA Invitational. An APA Invitational, which means that we are going to have, actually, how are we going to do this? We have a whole bunch of people who are going to be in this. I'll tell you what I'll do. We're going to pick four people. We'll pick four. All right, how about that? Pick four for the APA Invitational. It's just a wild, like, barroom brawl type match. And the Easter Bunny is there. So these people will be fighting with the Easter Bunny. Ooh. Demon Balor is going to be in the APA Invitational. Diesel. He's going to take one look at Balor, man. I could powerbomb that vanilla midget with my eyes closed. Diesel and Demon Balor. We need two more. Terry Funk. I'm liking this is a good mix of people that we got here. Oh my God. Look at this mix of people. Demon Balor, Diesel, Terry Funk. And Batista, along with the Easter Bunny in the APA Invitational. Diesel, Batista, Demon Balor, That is quite the crew. And Terry Funk. Wow. I'm picking Terry Funk. I got Terry Funk to win. I mean, could it be anybody else? It's a barroom brawl. It's right up his alley. Of course Funk wins. What are you, out of your funkin' mind? All right, well, we had some interesting matches there. Sounds like Batista got... No. Batista does not go over. Terry Funk goes over. Alex says, as a Giants fan, Solo, I am devastated with that awful loss yesterday. How did you feel? Well, I mean, my honest reaction, I just laughed. Because when I looked earlier at the game, they were dominating. And my brother is a big Giants fan. So I'm like, all right, well, finally, right? It's about time they have like a dominant game. And then I didn't think anything of it again until later. I'm like, I came across something on X where I saw the result. They lost by a point. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? Weren't they up like 19 nothing? I don't remember what the score was, but I mean, it was like how they were up like 19 nothing. And what did they lose? 33-32? Like, how does that happen? They're like the Mets of the NFL. What is with these awful New York teams? We're basically, everything is resting on the fate of the Knicks. That's basically it. Like, the Knicks have to save us. This city has been embarrassed by these sports teams. It's the Knicks or bust. Devin says, buy or sell 2000-2001 Triple H or 2011-2012 CM Punk. I mean, I like them both, but CM Punk, I got to go Punk. I mean, looking for the total package in terms of great matches and promos and just overall entertaining. CM Punk. They lost in historical fashion. Oh, is that what happened? The kicker missed 2 extra points? Wow. That's just brutal. Dr. Scorpio says, you got the Yankees, but Yankees lose. Yes, they do. Thank you, Vladdy. Next time I'm with you live here is going to be Wednesday night. We got the post-Wrestle Dream edition of Dynamite coming up. Full gear is the next stop, so we have to see how they build up some of these feuds. Obviously, they're heading towards another Hangman Samoa Joe match. Darby has vanquished Moxley, and so where does he go? Who knows? We'll find out. They've already announced Okada and Bandido for the Unified title. And then the Hurt Syndicate are challenging for the Trios titles against the Ops. So we already know that. So that'll be Wednesday night, and then I'll be with you again on Friday night for the SmackDown post-show. Can they make it 3 weeks in a row where we see noticeable improvements on that show? They still have to address Julia and the U.S. title. How are they going to handle that situation? And then tomorrow night, I'll be over on JD's channel for Tuesday Night Titans. So you got a full week of content coming up. See you guys back here on Wednesday night. Until then, take care, guys.